Lesson number 13, Study of Bible Prophecy. Two kinds of prophecy in Scripture: straightforward prophecy and symbolic prophecy. Symbolic prophecy has been termed apocalyptic, which is the name, the apocalypse, given to the book of Revelation. So apocalyptic prophecy resembles the signs and the symbols that we see in the book of Revelation. The other kind of prophecy, verbal, is sometimes called classical prophecy. For example, Jesus said, "I go to Jerusalem, I am going to be arrested, scourged, denied, crucified, and rise again the third day." No symbols, no figures of speech, straightforward, conversational language. The Lord told Abraham in Genesis 15, "Your posterity will be afflicted, come out of Egypt after 400 years. These are all straightforward, classical prophecies. The ones that are called apocalyptic are full of signs and symbols. Part number one, the spiritual state of the church, Revelation 3:14-17. Now, in order to understand this passage, we must study it very carefully. I have listened to people who say the whole Laodicean church are lukewarm. Where are we told that? Then I read an interesting statement from Ellen White: "The state of the church represented by the foolish virgins is also spoken of as the Laodicean state. The foolish virgins were 50% of the 10. And that gives me to factor into my understanding of the Laodicean church that they are not all lukewarm. They are among the last generation that carry the gospel into all the world. And if you think of the Laodicean state as the foolish virgins, then you've got to modify your understanding of the Laodicean message." In apocalyptic prophecy, we take the elements that form the prophecy and study them from other parts of the Bible. Now, what are these elements? First one would be the name of the church. Laos means people, and Dikaio is to judge. Laodicea means the judged people, or the judgment of the people. So it looks to the judgment that started in 1844 and goes to the close of probation. It's an end time when the church, when the people are being judged by the sanctuary, in the sanctuary in heaven. Daniel 7 watched God the Father take his throne where he had not been before. Then he watched the Son of Man come in before the Father where he had not been before. And the judgment was set and the books are opened. Now there were many in the church that were lukewarm. "Be zealous," Jesus says, "and repent. This work I saw should be taken hold of in earnest. There is something to repent of. Worldly mindedness, selfishness, covetousness have been eating out the spirituality and life of God's people." Part number two. "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire." What is this gold? Gold is the standard upon which man evaluates everything else. Humanity is on the gold standard. Heaven is on the faith standard. As James says, you may be poor in the gold of this world, but you may be rich in faith. So the gold that is recommended is faith that works by love and purifies the soul. Only this can bring us into harmony with God. We may be active, we may do much work, but without love, such love as dwelt in the heart of Christ, we can be never be numbered with the family in heaven. Now what does it mean, buy of me? What price have we got to pay? We can't pay for the gold of faith and love except as we give ourselves wholly to Christ. We give our all. We give our ambition. We give our hopes. Everything that we have, we lay on the altar and say, Lord, this is a living sacrifice. You take over. And then He gives this gold that is faith and love. Part number two, you are naked. So God says, I'll give you white robes to clothe you. Now these are not ordinary robes. In Revelation 19, they are the trousseau of the bride. They are woven in the loom of heaven. In them there is no thread of human devising. They are designed by a celestial tailor to fit every individual soul, to cover his or her nakedness. Garments, ordinary clothes, represent visible conduct. It's something people see. And that outward conduct we sometimes wear to cover our nakedness of sin. We overdo, we overwork to try to cover up. When we come to Jesus, as Paul says, we lay aside the filthy garments. We put off the garments of sin. We put off the show and demonstration of piety. And we fall at the feet of Christ. As Adam and Eve were naked before Him, and allow Him to cover us with His garment of righteousness. So the robe that He gives is His own character with which He will clothe our unrighteous acts. He will cleanse us, take off the old, and then put on the new. So Paul says we put on Christ, we put on a new man, we put on the whole armor of God. The white raiment is purity of character, the righteousness of Christ, imparted to the sinner. This is a garment of heavenly texture that can be bought only of Christ for a life of willing service. The wedding garment in the parable represents the pure, spotless character which Christ's true followers will possess. Righteousness is right doing. And it is by their deeds that all will be judged. Our characters are revealed by what we do. The works show whether the faith is genuine. In the 16th chapter of Ezekiel, one of my favorites, a little baby girl, unloved, forlorn, left out to perish, is picked up by God, who waits patiently till it matures, becomes a beautiful young woman, and He washes it, clothes it, precious garments, and its renown went out for its beauty because of My loveliness, comeliness, which I put on it. This white robe is imparted. Part number four. Laodicean state is blindness. Quite a prevalent disease today. I've had people who come in and say, I don't see anything wrong with this. All they're confessing is that they're blind. They don't see. Because they don't see doesn't mean that there isn't something wrong with it. And so the Lord says, give up this cocky self-justification and allow me to anoint your eyes with eyesight. Their discernment of right and wrong, their spiritual perceptions are dulled. They have looked at so many human ideas that they cannot even see the divine. They have no spiritual understanding. The eyesight is that wisdom and grace which enables us to discern between the evil and the good, to detect sin under any guise. God has given His church eyes which He requires them to anoint with wisdom, that they may see clearly. But many would put out the eyes of the church if they could. They would not have their deeds come to the light, lest they should be reproved. The divine eyesalve will impart clearness to the understanding. Christ is the depository of all graces. Therefore, we need to be exceedingly careful, walk humbly before God, that we may have spiritual eyesight and distinguish the working of the Holy Spirit of God from the working of that spirit that would bring in wild license and fanaticism. Those who are really beholding Christ will be changed into His image, even by the Spirit of the Lord, and will grow up to the full stature of men and women in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit of God will inspire men with love, purity, refinement will be manifest in their characters. Part number 5. Another interesting element in this message to the Church of Laodicea is that Christ pictures Himself as standing outside the church, knocking at the door. And as Hoffman has so beautifully and eloquently pictured, there is no handle outside with which He can open the door. The only handle is on the inside. That's where the bolt has been thrown. So as He knocks, He waits. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. How does He knock? As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. God can knock through rebukes and chastening, troubles, trials, tribulations. Not always, but He can. Now, if we get sick by overindulgence or carelessness in what we do, don't blame God. Blame ourselves. But if when we have examined ourselves with the light of heaven shining upon us, we can't think of anything, let's ask the Lord for the insight we might need and say to Him, Lord, what lessons do you want me to learn? And let me tell you, you will be surprised. He's quite capable of conveying to you the lessons He wants you to learn. So the rebuke and the discipline may be Christ knocking at the door. Hardships, financial problems, work problems, relationships, our attitudes might have helped to shatter. All these may be ways by which God is knocking at the door. Since He rebukes and chastens, He wants us to be zealous and repent. That's what He wants us to do. He reproves, disciplines, so that we might repent. And that when we hear Him knocking at the door, will say, let the Savior in. Then His promise is, I will come to you and eat with you. Now this eating was part of the ratification of the covenant of salt. This is a sign that indicates Christ will enter into the new covenant relationship with us, between you and me. And the final promise those who overcome, those who conquer, I'll give a place on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on His throne. So He offers us royalty. He will demonstrate for us His infinite love. Part number 6, the mansions in glory are His. The joy of that heavenly abode is waiting for us. He humbles Himself to seek an entrance into the door of our hearts, that He may bless us and take us to be with Him. As we think of this wonderful promise, let us accept Him wholly into our lives.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.